Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the experience of being born must be something like the way it was with many of us older ones when we immigrated. I say was, because today there is so much information on the internet for people that come to Canada, so they can be pretty well informed when they come here. But being born, that is something different. Leaving your mother's tummy and entering this world. And surely, it's entering a totally different world. In your tummy, you were all by yourself. And you heard some sounds, but for the rest, you were on your own. And you went to sleep when you wanted to, and your warm cocoon was there, and you were fed in a way that you didn't even notice, and so everything was so smooth. Now, that's gone. And sometimes you don't just feel naked, you are naked, and it is something that you're not used to. And so then there is that strange feeling in your stomach which makes you cry out, and then somebody puts something in your mouth, and then that strange feeling kind of disappears. And then when you begin to grow up, and you get used to those really tall people all around you and bending over you and the smaller siblings, then it begins to sink in that the world in which you have landed was there long before you were born. And when you're 4 or 5 years old, then and you see some family pictures, and then you see your siblings there, but you're not in the picture. And you say, why am I not in the picture? Well, you weren't yet born. Actually, you didn't even exist yet, not even in your mom's tummy. That's hard to. I wasn't there. There was a time I wasn't there. And when we think of it, it must be quite an experience to come out of a tummy and enter into the ongoing stream of life and find your place. That takes a lot of learning and adjustment and a process which continues definitely throughout the teenage years. But it's not only this human world in which the newborn in our church families must find their place, but also in the kingdom of God. Now, we confess that our children are covenant children, but how meaningful is that for our young ones? And this is now where the scripture which we read presents a helpful understanding, particularly the words about the root and the branches. And in the light of that teaching, we may confess, and that's the theme of this message, that our covenant children, are young branches which are fed by the root of the old olive tree. Covenant children, are young branches fed by the root of the old olive tree. And we first then look at the old olive tree and its root. Now, the Bible doesn't speak about old olive tree, but I thought of that because if you have seen pictures of olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see those old gnarled trees, and some of them are 800 years old, so that's why I talk about the old olive tree. But also because the olive tree of which the text speaks is not a real tree. It is a a picture of the family of a tribe that goes all the way back to Abraham, if not further. For the Bible, it doesn't speak about a literal olive tree of root and wood. No, the olive tree he mentioned is really the people of Israel. And we learn that from Jeremiah 11:16. There we are told that the Lord God called the name of his beloved green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. But things are not that well at that time with the beloved of the Lord, with the green olive tree. Why not? Because we are told that the Lord's beloved has done many lewd things with many and also evil things, which is why, says Jeremiah, with the noise of great tumult, the Lord God has kindled fire on the great green olive tree, and the branches are broken. So when we read about broken branches here in Romans, that is nothing new. It already happened during the 40 years in the wilderness that branches were broken off. There are other references in Scripture which make it clear that the olive tree stands for the people of God, for Israel. And that is something which is important for us to know. For Scripture speaks of wild olive branches being engrafted into the old olive tree. Now, who are those wild olive branches? Well, Paul calls them you. Well, now he is writing to Christian believers in Rome. And there is only two groups of believers there in the church in Rome. And the one group is converted Jews who have become followers of Christ. But the other group is converted Gentiles, heathens, who have become Christians. Now, the Jews clearly are by birth natural branches of the olive tree. The Jews are by birth members of Israel. And that leaves the converted Gentiles as the wild olive branches who are now engrafted into the old olive tree. What does that tell us? Well, this, that Gentiles upon their conversion become part of the olive tree. That is, Gentiles also embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and then thereby they become part of Israel. It's true that there are many church people who think the opposite. They think that the Christian church has replaced the old Israel. So we have today Israel, that's for the unbelieving Jews. We have nothing to do with that. And we are the church, the people of Christ. But that goes contrary even to our confession. We confess in Article 27 of the Belgian Confession that the church has been from the beginning of the world and will be to the end thereof. And then the confession goes on and says that the church sometimes, in the eyes of the people, seems to be reduced to nothing, as during the perilous reign of Ahab, when nevertheless the Lord reserved unto him 7,000 men who had not bent their knees to Baal. And so there, our confession calls the Old Testament believers in the time of King Ahab the church. And so before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of Israel, The believers were already the church. Israel was at that time the church, and the church was Israel. And so the old olive tree, Israel, is the church. Now, someone may think, all right, before the Lord Jesus, Israel was the church. But that's different now. Did not the Lord Jesus say that he was going to build his church? But if we think that way, then we must seriously look at our text. It says clearly in verse 20 that wild olive branches, Gentiles, believers, have their place in their old olive tree by faith. And that is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, converted Gentiles are engrafted into the old olive tree, into the Israel of old. Beside that, non-Jewish believers are not only engrafted into the old olive tree, but also adopted as God's people, Ephesians 1 verse 5. And therefore, as far as all of us here who are believers, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as us is concerned, we too are part of that olive tree, part of Israel. But there's a further matter which must have our attention. In verse 19, the apostle writes, "You wild olive branches, say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Now, words like that make us think that room in the olive tree became available to us because of unbelief of the natural branches, because of unbelief of the Jews. They were broken away. But then the apostle warns all Gentile believers that you be careful. There is no reason whatsoever for you, when you are engrafted as wild olive branches into the old olive tree, to become presumptuous. He writes in verse 20-22, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, who rejected Jesus, severity. But on you who believe, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. Someone may say, but isn't it this way? Once saved, always saved. But that's not the issue here. The direction here is, it is up to me to continue to stand by faith in the olive tree. If I do not stand by faith, I will be cut off. Well, that brings us, secondly, to new branches who are holy. And that's the question. Now, what about the new branches that keep appearing? Are they connected to the olive tree? And then we're not talking about non-Jewish adults and young people that come to by profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know now what happens to them. They're engrafted but into the tree. But we're thinking here about brand new lutes, just like little Jack. You know, where is he in all this? Where are all these newborns? I was told that this year you expect 19 newborns. So that's 19 little branches. What happens to them? Well, we know what happens to them. They are engrafted into the tree. No, we're thinking about this new lute, those bumps, you could say. What may we say about the newborn covenant children? Now, our scripture portion says really nothing about newborn covenant or young children. But it does tell us about the standing of all the branches of the olive tree. It declares that since the root is holy, so are the branches. Actually, we're first told that since the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. That has to do with the new grain harvest. And they made dough of that, and they took the first part of that dough to the temple, and they sacrificed it to the Lord. And then, because that was now holy, the whole harvest was holy, and the people, they could eat it now. So that's the truth, goes back to Numbers 15, verse 21. But so now the same principle is referred to in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Now, holy here does not mean that they are have already received eternal life. No, but rather that they are set apart from the rest of the world by their relationship with the olive tree. They're part of that olive tree. They're separated from the world. It's not that children of believers are totally separated from the people of God. There are churches that teach that. If I take a moment, I one time had a young man in confession class, and we talked about this. And he said, yes, he said when he grew up, until, and he was small, until he was maybe 3-4 years old, he sat with his parents in the inner circle. But he said, and when he was supposed to be able to sit by himself and behave himself, he was sent to the outside the inner circle, the outside the circle of believers, where the unbelievers sat. And so there are Christians who call their children little vipers who have to be converted. Little vipers. No, we do not call our children little vipers. No, they are sanctified because they have a connection with the holy root of the olive tree of Israel. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And this includes all the branches, both those who bear fruit and those who do not. And that's why our baptism form declares that even though our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, they are nevertheless sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church, that is, as branches of the olive tree of Israel, ought to be baptized. But all of us also realize that these young branches, sooner or later, must be born again, and so that they become fruit-bearing shoots in the old olive tree, where they are to glorify God by bearing fruit for him. And that brings us to the next question. How long are these new branches holy? How long are they allowed to stay part of the olive tree, part of Israel, before they are broken off? Because of unbelief. Well, there are some hints of scripture in this matter. In John 15, we are told by the Lord Jesus that he is the vine, and his Father is the vine dresser, and then he declares that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, they are cast out as branches and are withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But our scripture passage makes it clear that as long as a broken off branch is not withered and burned, there remains the possibility of being grafted in anew. Not only, but only upon faith. We're told in our scripture in verses 23, 24, and they also, that is, branches that were broken off because of unbelief, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So, if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted into the contrary to nature in a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? And so here we have a wonderful word from the Lord with regard to covenant children and church people who at one point refused to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and were cut off, dropped by the wayside through discipline or whatever way. Now, if any one of you is like that, and then you may have been broken off from the olive tree and broken away from Israel. But as long as you're not withered, that is, as long as you haven't died, there remains the opening for you to be engrafted again, to be received again. And this also leaves the door open for those who have turned their back on the church, and it encourages prayer for those concerned for the eternal well-being, perhaps of children, or siblings, or parents. There's one more teaching here that is about the Jews of today who so far they have not embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all by birth branches of Israel. And they also, therefore, according to the scripture passage, are holy like our covenant children. And therefore, as we pray for our children to be engrafted into the olive tree in a fruit-bearing manner, so we must also remember all the Jews, the branches that by nature should be part of the olive tree, but have turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and are now broken off. And all this brings us to the last point, embracing the fatness of the root. Over the centuries, there has been much discussion about the root of the olive tree, the root of Israel. And of course, the root is very basic to the well-being of a tree. So the root is also very basic to the well-being of Israel, the well-being of the church. Without a proper root, no tree can survive. And the olive trees in Israel, they were mostly planted on rather shallow soil, not many inches above limestone rock. The climate there consists of the early rain and the latter rain, with in between long dry summers and heavy dews in the fall season. So water had to be conducted to the trees from the early rain. The soil was to be enriched by what is called marl, a mixture of clay and minerals that was dug out and a pit somewhere else in the country. And all this tells us that the care for an olive tree orchard was intense, especially during the first 10 years or so. But clearly, the root is the most important part of the tree. It's from a widely spread root system that the tree receives the support to remain standing, but also it is from a well-developed root system that the branches are nurtured to enable to produce rich fruit, the olives. Well, we know that olive oil has a certain fatness, and this fatness has to come from somewhere. And that is why we're told that the wild olive branches, which are engrafted into the olive tree, become partakers of the root and the fatness or richness of the olive tree. Like the maple tree, it brings up the sweetness with its sap, so the olive root sends up nutrients with its fatness for the branches and fruit. Now, all this is well and good, but once again, what or who must we think of when we hear about the root of Israel? Then we have a choice which really is not a choice. The root is either the Word of God or it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But there is there really a difference? Is the Lord Jesus not the Word of God become flesh? And that made Martin Luther say that Christ, there is no naked Lord Jesus Christ. He is always wrapped in the gospel. And did the Lord Jesus Christ not declare over against the Jews, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me? And towards the end of his life, the Lord Jesus declares, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine, that is my word, and declare it to you. And so we take it that the root of the olive tree, Israel, is the living Word of Christ and the living Lord Jesus Christ himself as we meet him in the scriptures. And so we also confess that as believers, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so we learn that Israel, the church, over the ages has been fed, has been nourished from the root, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, through the Holy Spirit, by means of the revealed word of God. And that's why it is written that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that is interesting. So it is through the ear that the fatness, the richness of the root enters the human branches, through the ear. Somewhat different from the way the branches are fed in a real tree, and then the sap from the root flows into the branch without any action by the branch, just like an unborn child is nurtured. But human branches of the olive tree will have to listen in order to receive the nurture from their blessed root, which is also their shepherd. And it means that believing branches are expected to place themselves under the word. Now, you can do that today in many ways, one would say. There's many opportunities. There is the Bible reading at home, there's sermon audio, there's the over the telephone, over the internet. There are many ways by which the word of life can come to us. But we have to make use of these ways by being fed and by listening, by the hearing of the ear. And yet, along all those possibilities, there remains one unique, an exceptional way in which to come under the lively preaching of the word in the midst of the congregation. And that is here like this morning. For at that time, it's not only the message of the word, it's not only words that are being communicated to us, but at the same time, there is the active presence of God the Holy Spirit in the midst of the congregation. And it is at those times that the message of the word is applied at the same time as we hear it. Of course, we really do not know how the Holy Spirit applies God's word to our hearts, but we definitely need the Holy Spirit to work that word in us in order to be nurtured. We need the Holy Spirit to bring the fatness from the root up into us as branches. When all is said and done, then it are not the talents of the preacher which build up the branches. Those efforts may contribute somewhat to the nurturing, but it is above all the active application of the Holy Spirit which is absolutely necessary. And that is why we branches must always be careful not to dismiss some sermons we hear. Well, that was no good. I might as well have stayed home. Yeah? For the Holy Spirit works actively during the whole worship service, also what we sing, the prayers, but as far as sermons are concerned, count on it that you go home with more than you think you got out of the sermon. I got nothing out of it. But you go home with more than what you think you got out of it. And that is not only true for adult branches, it is also true for the little branches, the little children. They don't sit quiet and they do this and they do that. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit works in that heart, what comes in through the ear and the Holy Spirit works with it. You don't know. These little branches are also under the working of God, the Holy Spirit, together with us adults and young people. And the same goes, of course, for times of Bible reading and discussions around the family table. It all tells us about the growth and the development of these little branches. And people who have fruit trees know that it takes a number of years for a young tree to start to bear fruit. To grow a fruit tree bearing olives takes at least 6 to 7 years, but then it takes another 10 years, 16, 17 years in all to reach full maturity. There's nothing different with our children, is there? And yet, all that time, the fruit farmer must tenderly look after the young trees. And so, it is also with our newborn and young branches. Home and church and schooling should all work together that a strong fruit-bearing branch of Israel may develop out of Jack and out of all these little ones that you have. It's quite a story. The young ones must learn, isn't it? Or story, it's the truth. It's the holy truth. And three things in particular they must learn, of course. First, how great their sins and miseries are. That's a difficult lesson, which they have to keep learning for the rest of their lives. And then they can only learn it through the working of the Holy Spirit. But then secondly, also the story, rather the truth, how they may be set free from all these troubles through the Holy Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Easter. And lastly, but not least, how they may honor and thank the Lord God for His grace through His Son. This is a threefold story, which causes their whole life to appear in a totally different light than the darkness of the world in which they have entered. And through all this, these little branches should learn their part of a very old tree, part of a very long and important history. My dad used to have a saying, and I can say it in English because it translates very well. He said, "Be yourself," I said to somebody, but he couldn't. He was nobody. Now you see, there are a lot of people in this world today that are totally confused about who they are. Be yourself. Well, they couldn't because they're nobody. They're not connected. Here, Jack has a place in his family, but also in this family. And Jack is part of the olive tree. And that history goes back centuries. We have a place, and we have a place before God. This is important. Jack is somebody. He's a branch of the olive tree. People think that they can meditate individually and they don't need others, you know. And I can go into the woods. I can practice some yoga meditation. But God's word tells us again and again that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ must think of themselves as branches engrafted in the old olive tree in Israel. And when we are gathered together as a green olive tree, like right now, then that is the time that together we are being fed from the root. And that is the time also that God comes to us by his word and spirit. It's not that we branches support the root. People sometimes say, "Where would the church be if I wasn't there?" And we don't support the root. The root supports us. At the same time, we must never forget that by nature we remain wild olive trees. We never become Jews. Even though we are by grace grafted into the old olive tree, there remains original sin in us, which must be overcome again and again by the nurture of the holy root and prayer. And it must also, our new branches have to learn all that also, with all the noises and the temptations and the danger of the world all around us. But that is also the world of the olive tree. Their connection with the holy root, that counts, really. And so here we are. We have baptized little Jack, and we pray that he, together with all the other children here in the church, and wherever you are from as churches, that these young ones may grow up and become fruit-bearing branches to the glory of God when their parents are old and gray. And meanwhile, may our little ones so observe us and experience our Christian fellowship that they cannot help but say to themselves, "I want what Mom and Dad have." Amen.